This in remembrance of me. We have before us the bread that represents Christ's body and the cup that represents his shed blood for the remission of our sins. In Luke chapter 22, 19 and 20, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the sup, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which poured out for you. Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to partake of this bread that represents your Son's body on the cross. As we partake of it, Heavenly Father, we hope and pray we may remember the sacrifice that was given. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup that represents your Son's shed blood on the cross. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much for this shed blood, for the remission of our sins, that we may have a hope with thee in the end. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Scripture will be taken this morning from Job, the 38th chapter, verse 1 through 4. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Let us pray. Thank you again, Lord, for this day and for your wonderful blessings. Once again, as we open up your word, we pray that our minds are ready to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We pray that those that are listening, that we apply what has been taught to our lives. Continue to watch over us, lead us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we want to talk about how big is God? How big is God? I want to take us to Job again, the 38th chapter. Job 38, he shows us two main points that might make us think a bit differently. In this portion of scripture, God is questioning Job with a series of rhetorical questions after Job had some doubts about God's plan. And God decided to qualify himself by asking these questions that prove to me that he knows what's best. For in verse number 4 of Job 38, he said, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." The first point that I want to consider this morning is that God doesn't need our advice. He laid the foundation of the earth by himself. He didn't need our pointers. He didn't need any advice from anybody. God not only laid the earth's foundation by himself, but he did it flawlessly. He had a wonderful, flawless plan. The earth's foundation is just the beginning. He created you and I. Do you understand now that God doesn't want nor need our advice? When he has a plan, don't try to change it. Don't try to modify it. And I tell you honestly, I trust God's plan more than yours. I once heard it said that two things in life are certain. Number one, there is a God. And number two, it's not you. But then when you look at Job 38 in verse number 12, he says, "Have you commanded the morning since your days begun, and cause the dawn to know its places?" The second point that we want to consider this morning is that God is stronger than you. For again, in verse 12, God asked Job if he's ever made the sun rise and set. So in order to do that, he would have to control the earth's rotation. In this scripture, Job never wrote his answer for us. But it's safe to assume he couldn't control the earth's rotation. In fact, I don't know of anybody who can control the earth's rotation. I don't know of any group of people for that matter. I believe that if the whole population of the earth worked together, we still couldn't control the earth's rotation. But God can. He can do it all by himself. That would make God very powerful. For if he can turn the earth, imagine all the other things he can do. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 27 tells us, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible." God is very powerful, and for that reason should be feared. So I encourage you to read all of Job 38, because there are two more questions God asked that will prove his reign and his power. But these two verses kind of give you an idea of how wise he is and how powerful he is. I know some of this might have been hard for you to read because now you feel so small. But the truth is, you are. If we look today at this invisible enemy, if there's one thing that this coronavirus pandemic has taught everyone, and I mean everyone, is that we are much smaller than we thought we were. I mean the smartest and most powerful and influential people in the world are trying to figure this thing out, trying to get ahead and get control of this invisible enemy. But yes, without a doubt, one thing everyone has figured out is that despite their power, the letters after their name, and financial resources at their disposal, this pandemic is so much bigger than they are. Sure, a couple of months ago, they may have believed that they were powerful and in control of their life and world. But listen, that was just a self-induced illusion. And so now they know, and now we all know, that despite how intelligent, how capable, how big they and we may have thought we were actually pretty small. You are not as big as you thought you were. You are not as capable as you thought you were. You are not in control as much you thought you were. And brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that is totally okay, because there is someone who is so much bigger than you thought he was. And understand that someone is Jesus Christ. Listen to how the scripture describes him. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all, over all creation. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. It sounds like Jesus is pretty big, but how big is God? When I go to Isaiah chapter 40, I open up God's people had been going through difficult circumstances for several generations, the time of famine and economic hardships and foreign oppression. But God says to Isaiah in Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. One of the ways God has Isaiah comfort them, a nation who was feeling really small, by reminding them of just how big, how huge he is. For in verse 12 of Isaiah 40, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. In verse 15, behold, the nation are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. What God is trying to say to you during this time is that you are smaller than you think you are. But that's okay, because God is so much bigger than you thought he was. Understand, he is in control. He is before all things and all things, and he holds all things together. He wants you to lean on him, trust in and depend on him. Give us this day our daily bread. God is bigger than you thought. God cares about you and what you are going through more than you thought he did. So whatever situation you are facing in life, I want you to realize that God is big enough to handle it. How big is God? He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within your heart. What I want to ask you is, how big is your God? The real answer, to that may lie in how big a role he plays in your life. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. If you can see God as big enough to make a universe, surely he is also big enough to be worth offering him your body as a living sacrifice. If you can see him as big enough to put the stars in place, is he not also big enough to save your lost loved one? If you can see him as big enough to lead Israel out of Egypt's bondage, is he not also big enough to set you free from whatever it is that binds you and saps your victory? If you can see him as big enough to fill you with the Holy Spirit, then can you not also see him as big enough to walk, to work his spiritual gifts through you? If you can see God as big enough to be due lip service and praise and glory, is he not also big enough to be worthy of your total commitment? How big is God? The summits proclaimed, the heavens declared his glory, and the firmament showed his handiwork. His love is limitless. His promises are sure. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burdens is light. He is enduringly strong, eternally steadfast, and impartially merciful. John declared him the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the centerpiece of civilization and miracles of the ages. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, for he alone can supply all your needs. How big is God? He is the doorway to deliverance, the pathway to peace, the roadway to righteousness, the highway to holiness, the gateway to glory. I wish I could describe him to you, but he is indescribable, incomprehensible, invisible, and irresistible. The heavens cannot contain him. The world cannot understand him. U.S. armies can't defeat him. U.S. schools can't, and universities can't explain him. U.S. leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. He is the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders. He is holy. He is mighty. He is true. His word is eternal. His ways are right. His will is unchanging. You cannot outlive him, and you cannot live without him. Pilate found no fault in him. Death could not handle him. The grave could not hold him. He had no predecessor, and he will have no successor. There was none before him, and there will be none after him. How big is God? God is big enough to handle your problems and my problems all at the same time. So if you are listening this morning and have not obeyed the gospel, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once you heard the word, the gospel, believe it to be true, Romans 10:17. Our faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess the sweetest name, O mortal tongue, Matthew 10:32-33. And then you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6:3-4. When you come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:47. The church he built, Matthew 16 and verse 18. Purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. He is the head, the Savior. He loved it and coming back for it, Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 27. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. Revelations 2 and verse 10. If you've already a child of God and you strayed away and not been living as a Christian should, or if you desire prayer, or if you want to know more about the Church of Christ, whatever your desire is, call us at 734-482-4922. Or you can call the building and leave a message, 734-483-1864. We are here to assist you in any way we can. We'll have two more songs and a closing prayer.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dearly Father, we come to thee, needing you in every hour, in every step, in every breath of our lives. We thank thee for the many blessings you have given us, especially this opportunity to come to thee in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we have troubles and concerns in our lives today from this deadly coronavirus that has caused sickness and even death with our loved ones. Yes, Heavenly Father, it has frightened us. But we know if we lean on you, you will help us and carry us through. Because of the promise that we're in darkness, hold on, for there's light and joy in the morning. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the leaders in this land, that they will work together and cause an avenue to allow the doctors and the scientists to come up with a vaccine to help cure this sickness. Help us to be mindful of one another, love one another, and to guide one another, that the love we share may only give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask that you will continue to bless our elders, Brother Bowen, Brother Baldwin, and Brother Long, that you may give them the strength and the knowledge to continue to guide us through these times. Also, Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bless our minister, Brother Norman, as he puts together every week our Bible class and sermons. We are thankful for the message today. As we have listened to thy word, we hope and pray you may give us the opportunity to be able to apply it to our lives and live a better life than we did in the past. Also, through these things we ask, you give us the courage to let our light shine, not just on the inside, but on the outside to this world, that we may be able to bring others closer to you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you may bless the families that has lost loved ones. Give them strength, give them peace, and give them understanding that they may continue to live for thee. We ask that you may bless the sick, especially the whole house of faith. We ask a special prayer on the behalf of Wanda Long, that you may watch over her with your tender, loving care. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless not just Ypsilanti, but all the churches of Christ, that we may not grow weary or lose sight of you through these times. We ask you continue to bless us, love us, guide us, and to forgive us. We ask all these things and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.